Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim, and a good hello to our listeners out there.
Bob and I like to answer listener questions first, so our first question comes from Michael. Hello, Bob and Jim. The China economy appears to have peaked and is slowing rapidly. Is China the new 1990 Japan, entering a new deflationary period? Will China trigger a global deflationary decline, or will the U.S. and Canada continue down the path of stagflation?
Right, okay. No, yeah, the Chinese, well, it's not just the Chinese economy heading south, but the Empire State, meaning New York State, Manufacturers Index came out, and they were looking for, the experts were looking for a 1-point decline. It was a 19-point decline, so things are happening fast. Yeah, I like the idea. Is this another Japan? Actually, that huge, yeah, Japan spent decades in kind of a deflationary contraction mode after their immense bubble in 1980 when they were buying the world. Some guy bought the Pebble Beach Golf Club for $500 million and sold it, had to sell it 6 months later at a loss. So, that's an interesting concept. Now, the stagflation, I think that's an invention by economists who are startled by the end of rising prices, and then they can, oh, well, we're going into stagflation. But when we're in a world of post-bubble contraction, and the next slide down will be quite severe. So stagflation is it's a hopeless description. At the moment, this is stagflation. They mean the economy is going to go flat, but prices are going to continue to go up. No, and this then is the likelihood is that even let's put it this way: commodities are going to continue on down, and the CPI inflation, like what you and I pay, is going to come down to zero, flat. Maybe next year sometime. So, yeah, that'll then be yesterday's story. And then the other question?
Bob, does the inverted yield curve matter anymore given massive government stimulus?
Yeah. I've got the yield curve back, U.S. yield curve back to 1857, and it's covered a whole variety of markets and politics and everything else, and the rule is curve inverts, you get a recession no matter what. Now, I'm arguing that on the recession, of course, tax revenues are going to decline, so governments won't be able to fund themselves, and with pressure on commodities and the financial markets closing the window, the Fed won't be able to depreciate the currency, and so they will not be able to fund themselves through tax revenues or through inflation. So, and this is one of the other part of the post-bubble contraction, is that the senior currency, which is the U.S. dollar, goes up. And I notice it's all now up to the 104 level on the DX. This is This is rather good. So the ability of government to do massive stimulus, the window on that is being shut. And thanks for the question, Michael.
And yes, turning back to Japan, I remember the vapor song, Turning Japanese, and what it meant. And it was Japan back in the 80s was buying everything, and it looked like this is Japan finally is doing what it tried to do in the Second World War, is take over. But doing it peacefully, buying you up. Our second question comes from Andrew. Powell says inflation is still too high and is threatening to inflate the cost of borrowing even more, while Treasury Secretary Yellen admitted to eating hallucinogenic shrooms recently in China. Does the Fed chairman have a confession to make?
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's inferring maybe.
Good one, yeah.
He's been...
The Fed does not know what's happening, doesn't have a clue. Oh. And when you get into a post-bubble contraction and prices are going down, particularly stock prices go down, the power shifts from the Federal Reserve over to the margin clerks. That's why you get nasty contractions, is because the Fed doesn't have the ability to inflate through everything, and the margin clerks will get them every time. So, yeah. Now, inflation is too high, but it's not going to inflate the cost of borrowing. Interest rates go up with a boom anyways. And then here's where it gets tricky in a post-bubble contraction. The T-bill rate will go down. 3-month or 6-month bill rate will go down. It's still going up. And then it goes down. And then yields for all kinds of low-grade securities, junk and all that stuff, soar up. And also, even for long-dated treasuries, real yields go up in a post-bubble contraction. At the low a year ago or so, it was, the real long rate was -1%. It is now +2%, and they're complaining about rates going up. Well, in a typical post-bubble contraction, the real rate goes up by 10 percentage points. We're not there yet. So, as I say, the Fed and the Fed chairman haven't got a clue of what's going on. And the costs of borrowing are going to kind of soar, but the T-bill rate's going to go down. So
that would that be the first indication, like, here comes the recession?
Yeah, the T-bill rate rolling down. Now, well, also, it is cast in steel that when the yield curve inverts, a recession will follow. I mean, the lag time is maybe variable, but it's built in. There will be a recession.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye in a moment.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye. The first one from the New York Times. As China falls into deflation, the mood turns dark.
Good delivery. Yeah, we just were talking about that one. It's a nice, bold headline.
Now it's so bad in China that they have stopped releasing economic stats. Their young person unemployment, 25% or something, 20%.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And college grads, 40% can't find jobs.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and I was wondering, could this lead to the second Chinese revolution if they don't solve it?
It's going to change, yeah. They were, for the last 40 years, they've been forcing people. No, the great cultural leap or whatever it was, is they took everybody in the cities and put them on farms. And then for the last 30 years, they've been taking people out of rural and putting them in cities and building empty cities, and they have a huge problem.
Now, they did have a plan to forcefully move people from cities into those artificial cities. But when I was talking to an expert on that, he said one of the problems why people didn't move to those cities is that they forgot to build colleges and universities. So Chinese really revere education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And well, you can't get educated in a place that doesn't have universities.
Yeah.
So there, your central planners once again blew it.
Yep.
Another headline here from the Financial Times, China's whack-a-mole economic playbook leads to confusion. Bob, what's the story behind that, whack-a-mole?
Oh, whack-a-mole, of course, is when the problem appears, the authorities focus on it and give it a whack. So I like the whack-a-mole. So they're just whacking at problems, and it won't go away. So,
well, whack-a-mole, of course, you hit one and another one pops up.
Yeah.
Just because you whacked that one.
Yeah.
And so you're creating more problems by attacking it individually and not looking at the overall cause. Also, China is relatively new to a free enterprise economy.
Yeah.
And so when there's a downturn, last time they had huge stimulus like we did back in 2008. But this time they're not doing it. Is this a case of, look, we learned last time giving money to the banks was a waste of money, and so if they're that bad and they fail, let them fail and pick up the pieces, buy the good parts cheap.
I think that policymakers are trying to reflate, and it ain't going to work. So it's the same old bailout. They do it every time. So, I mean, central bankers do it every time. So
now we know there's been protests in China because people weren't getting paid dividends or their returns on Evergrande, and also on Country Garden.
Oh, yeah. The Country Garden name appeared as a problem stock.
Yeah. So, as we said, their whack-a-mole policy leads to confusion. A headline, banks don't love rich mortgage borrowers as much as they used to.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, because a lot of these guys get leveraged and they get offside and then they become a problem. So, yep.
Hilliard Macbeth, in the interview I did with him here on How Street, explained that rising mortgage rates have hit the wealthy much harder than they have because the homes that they own are much more expensive. And so their $10,000 a month mortgage payment is now $20,000 or $30,000. And, so even if you're rich, that's a lot of money.
Well, they leverage themselves with leveraged businesses, leveraged real estate, the whole thing. Yep.
Emerging economies are rushing to end dollar dominance, but what's the alternative?
That was the good part of the headline. What's the alternative? There isn't. The market forces determine what is the senior currency. And it's been going on ever since Rome collapsed. So that's 2,000 years of markets deciding which is going to be the senior currency. A century ago, it was the pound sterling. And before that, it was the Dutch guilder. But lately, it is the U.S. dollar, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Now, what gets the complaints coming out is that we see with our policymakers in Argentina, they don't like the firm dollar. Why? Because they owe a whole lot of firm dollars payable in New York, and that's what's going to continue to drive the senior currency up. Hey, at 104 now, it's close to breaking out, I think above 105, and the next target becomes 114 on the DX. So
On This Week in Money, John Urbino discusses the BRICS meeting, where it was rumored that they might bring in a gold-backed currency, but they nixed that plan. But they did add Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates to the Brazil, Russia, China, India, South Africa complex.
Yeah.
And next year they might add Iran. So it really looks like it's they really are serious about this war against the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, they're serious. But their plan originally was convertibility into gold and commodities. Now, that is, they didn't do enough research. I mean, commodities are priced in gold because gold is money. So when you have a convertible currency, it is gold and nothing else. So, no, these guys don't know what they're doing. It's some sort of a bureaucratic effort with various countries. And I think it'll fall apart with when we get further into the contraction.
Yeah, and if you look at the players, but it really looks like it's dictatorships versus democracy.
When you look at the
members.
Characters that are putting this thing together, you're right. They're dictatorships, yeah.
And, well, the Second World War, that's pretty well what that boiled down to as well, wasn't it?
Yep, it was military dictatorships. And they went right out of control.
Yeah, I was going to say they're not the kind of guys that hang out at the comedy club.
No.
And our final headline of the day, U.S. home sales weakest July since 2010.
Yep, that's a hit, isn't it? Yeah. Mm.
I mean, real estate in the U.S. isn't as big as it is in Canada, I think. Isn't Canada like the most real estate dependent economy in the world,
or
is that Australia?
That, Jim, but I did a very thorough study on real estate, and we published it in November. And it was looking for real estate prices, farmland values, commercial, residential, to seriously head down. So, if anybody's interested in seeing that study. Yeah, get in touch through you or through me, whatever. It's well worth reading.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, always good to be with you, and you have a good weekend now.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter, @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.